Well, hey there. I am Jennifer Roskamp, a certified life coach and homeschool mom of 9 who is passionate about helping women just like you embrace the here and now while also being focused on creating the life you actually want. In reality, it's not about thinking life will get so much better or so much easier when you fill in the blank. Let's work on creating a life you love now. So let's dive in and get started on redefining supermom to be someone who is present, intentional, and content rather than perfect in our homes, in our lives, and in our own skin. Let's get started. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast. Well, hey there. It is Jennifer Roskamp, also known as the Intentional Mom. And that makes sense because you are here to listen to the Intentional Mom Podcast. So welcome, welcome. This is our first episode. And what better thing can we talk about on the first episode? But a little bit about what we are all about here, what I am all about. And I'm excited to share that here with you today because I have 6 vital mantras of intentional moms today. And no, you do not have to be a mom to also think these mantras are pretty awesome and want to adopt them as mantras that you would like to kind of align your life with as well. So I am all about mantras. You will hear a lot more mantras that I have to share. And in fact, on Mondays, we have mantras that I send out in a podcast every Monday where we talk about a new mantra. So that is how much I love mantras and how vital I feel like they are to really what it means to live an intentional life. But I wanted to count, I wanted to really highlight 6 that speak to the heart of what's in my heart and what I hear women being in this online space now for almost 9 years, what I hear are on the hearts of other women and moms as well. So these are really good mantras that will help you. Again, a mantra is something that you can tuck away in your back pocket. It is something that you can haul out when you need it, when life throws you a curveball, when you start to feel down, or maybe you start to feel like life's a little bit out of control, life's a little bit crazy, life throws you a detour, things aren't going according to your plans, you feel powerless, you just kind of forget like who you are, and maybe you feel a little bit like you lost your way. Mantras really can fill in the gap there and help bring you from where you are to the place you actually want to be. One of the things I talk about a lot in my coaching program is how really the overarching goal of myself and many of the women who I coach in my coaching community called Accomplished Lifestyle every week, a lot of what we talk about is how we're kind of all on this journey and kind of what we've defined as the intentional mom journey or the intentional life journey really is always being on a path or focused on a trajectory where you are seeking out to become and grow into the highest and best version of yourself. And really, I want to be able to bring the highest and best version of myself to everyone and everything. And these mantras are going to help you do that. So I've got 6 mantras that I'm going to share with you here. And we're going to chat about each one of them a little bit. And then I have this in an amazing, pretty download PDF download for you as well. If you would like that, you can get a link for that in the show notes here and get that sent right to your inbox. So with that, let's dive in. So the first mantra to kind of tuck in your back pocket is this: what can I still do? Life usually has no shortage of curveballs that it throws to us. Detours. Again, life doesn't follow our plans. I think if you're on planet Earth, you have discovered that a time or two. And a lot of times what happens is we get kind of the rug pulled out from under us and we feel like, what do I do now? Right? And so this mantra is going to be one that really helps you not stay down there on the floor when the rug has been pulled out from under you. What can I still do? And really the way that kind of the skill that offsets this is a skill that we talk about in week 1 of Accomplished Lifestyle. It is one of the foundational skills I teach. And it is called, it is the skill of reassessment. So I'm sure that we will unpack this skill here on this podcast a little bit more deeply in future episodes, because it is such a vital skill if you are in a situation where life ever seems to have other plans for you. Reassessing is a skill that you need in order to, again, still keep moving forward, to avoid staying stuck, to avoid feeling overwhelmed, to avoid feeling powerless. What can I still do? Maybe plan A didn't work. Maybe this or that isn't going to happen now, but what can I still do? One of the things I love to think about. So that's mantra number one. Mantra number two, when you don't feel like, and here's, I wanted to first give you a little bit of context of when you're going to use this specific mantra. So this is one that you're going to use when you don't really feel like doing something. You have this list of things you need to do today. Maybe you're one of my coaching clients and you use the daily task list. And so you have a list of things that you're supposed to do today, but now you're staring at that list and you're essentially looking at some of the things, maybe many of the things that are on it. And you're saying, yeah, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't feel like doing that. I'm not able to do that. I don't have the energy for that. I'm not interested in doing that. It's just not happening today. So when you find yourself in a situation where you're looking at something that you're quote unquote supposed to be doing, and you're honestly looking at that and saying, yeah, I'm not doing that. The thing you're going to follow that up with is this mantra number two. And you're going to ask yourself this question. Okay. Essentially, you're going to say, okay, but here's the question. What am I willing to do? But what am I willing to do? Okay. So you're giving yourself permission to set one thing aside and really resistance, right? That's what gets in the way. Whether or not you realize it, when you have something that you planned to do, wanted to do, really you had the best of intentions of doing that. But when the rubber meets the road, you're not going to do it. Well, it's because you have these points of resistance that you feel when it comes to actually taking that action. And so if the resistance that you feel about doing thing A is too great, if the ask is too big, it can be totally appropriate to say, all right, you can maybe set that aside for today, but what am I willing to do? I'm not going to throw the towel in on everything. I'm not going to just say, you know what? I'm going to throw today out the window and try again tomorrow. You're really following up this permission that you're giving yourself to set one thing aside. You're following that up with, okay, but you have to have a plan B. And what is that going to be? So when you find yourself in a situation where you're just not going to do something, follow that up with this question. Okay, but what am I willing to do? And you come up with what that is, and then you do that thing instead. So that's mantra number two. Mantra number three is one of my favorites, if not my most favorite. And this perhaps could be the mantra that I use the most in my life, and really that I use maybe even the most with my coaching clients as well. I feel like it's always in the mix somewhere, which is what makes it so valuable. And that is this. Mantra number three is nothing has gone wrong. It's just new information. Nothing has gone wrong. It's just new information. And in full transparency, sometimes I say this through gritted teeth, right? Sometimes I'm saying, oh my gosh, nothing has gone wrong. This is just new information. But I don't like the fact that I'm saying it. I don't like the new information. But I have to remind myself that nothing has gone wrong. It's just new information. This is such a powerful statement and such a powerful mindset. Now, here's kind of the part B of this. You don't actually have to believe it in order to say this, right? It can feel like something is definitely wrong. You don't have to lie to yourself and paint rainbows and sunshine over hard situations and challenges and obstacles and say, oh yeah, this is great. Nothing's actually wrong. That's not what I'm suggesting here. That is something totally different. But it's this mindset. It's this perspective of instead of looking at it as though there's something wrong, which immediately becomes kind of like this fight or flight situation for us, where again, when we assess that something has gone wrong, there is a problem. And our body and our mind, and really the hormones that come into play, are things that are attempting to rescue you from this problem. And a lot of times those are things that don't serve us really well. So if we can just kind of peel back ourselves and just kind of, again, gain control over your mindset to remind yourself, you know what, nothing has gone wrong. This is just new information. It kind of opens the door to help you to remind yourself, you know what, I'm going to figure this out though. Maybe this isn't what I chose. Maybe I don't like anything about this, but nothing has gone wrong. It's just new information. In reality, you don't have to believe it, and you likely won't at first. And maybe for a long time, maybe it'll be a long time where you can really look at this situation. You can look at this circumstance. You can look at this even crappy hand that you were dealt, right, in this situation. And you can, for a very long time, feel like this is definitely wrong. But you should still haul this mantra out and give yourself the perspective of, this isn't actually a problem. I can say this is just information. And it kind of allows it to be more of a neutral party that way as well. It doesn't have to be something that stresses me out. It doesn't have to be something that, again, puts me on that alert mode. It can just be something that happened, and I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to take it in. I'm going to accept it for what it is, because in reality, what else can you do? There are situations where there is very little about certain situations that you can control, but you can always control your mindset. And this is a great one to have. So nothing has gone wrong. It's just new information. Mantra number four, do what you can and then be done. A similar mantra that I have as well, and we'll share it from time to time, also is useful, but I feel like this one might be a little bit more powerful. And maybe you heard this version of the mantra that's, again, slightly different from this one. And that mantra says, do what you can and let go of the rest. Here's why I like do what you can and then be done better. I like that one better because there's something about letting go that can feel really hard. And I don't think you have to let something go in order to move forward. I think you can do what you can and then be done. To me, this mantra a little bit leaves the door open a little bit, right? It leaves the door open to say, I'm done for now. I'm done for today. I am out of fuel and focus and capability to think about this, to execute in this anymore. So I'm going to do what I can and then I'm going to be done. So it is important to note though, that if you're going to be done at some point, you do have to do what you can first. Don't miss that first part of this mantra. Do what you can and then be done. If you are going to give yourself permission to set it aside for a time, if you're going to give yourself permission to be done, you do have to do what you can first. They do go together. There is two parts to this mantra, and you want to make sure that you are fulfilling both parts. So do what you can and then be done. That's mantra number four. Mantra number five is a relatively new one to me, but I find myself using it a lot in my life. I find myself using it a lot with my kids. I find myself using it a lot with my coaching clients. I say this a lot. And that is this. Mantra number five is that nothing is all bad. Nothing is all bad. We often can only see the bad side of the coin. And don't get me wrong, there are many situations where there can certainly seem like and feel like and look like there is more bad than there is good. But it's important to recognize that nothing is all bad. I love following this up with something that Dan Miller was famous for saying. And he liked to say and ask the question, what does this make possible? So nothing is all bad. When something goes, quote unquote, wrong, something doesn't go according to plan, and there is a situation that is happening that needs to be dealt with, or there is a situation that's happening that is going to naturally cause disappointment or feelings of frustration, or it's going to require that we come up with a plan B, or maybe a plan C or D or E, or down the line we can go. But the thing is that when something happens like this, at first glance, it can seem like everything is all bad. And a lot of times we can get stuck on that side of the coin. But this mantra encourages you to also recognize that there is another side of the coin. And back to that Dan Miller phrase, what does this make possible? There are things in life that, even though it can be a very, very big letdown, there can be something that is very disappointing. There can be something that is very hard. There can be a huge obstacle, a huge challenge, a huge struggle that can be messy and painful and stressful and cause turmoil and all of that. And that can all be true. But it can also be true that there are things, and if you allow yourself to look for it, to actually go on a treasure hunt to find the things that are made possible because of this situation, because of this circumstance, because of this very unfortunate situation in some cases, there are going to be some things that are possible because of it. One way that we lived through this in our life was when my husband lost his job, right? And you can actually imagine how, in the case of job loss, especially if it's similar to what it was for us, where it is unexpected, all of a sudden he has no job. So what does that make possible, right? That was hard, and it was scary, and it was unwanted and unwelcome and all of that. That is all true. But when we looked at it and said, all right, what does this make possible? There were some things that were possible that would never have been possible if he still had that job. For instance, all of a sudden he had time to go to kids' sporting events that he didn't have time to go to before. All of a sudden he was around for family dinners that he was not around for before. All of a sudden he was able to step into some of the roles and fulfill some of the responsibilities that I typically had while he was at work. He was able to alleviate some of those things that I had to do and that I had been doing, again, because he was at work during those times, but he could now carry those out, which freed up time for me to do something else. So nothing is all bad. Challenge yourself to look for, I call them the hidden gems in the situation. And follow that up maybe with that Dan Miller question, which is, what does this make possible? But you do have to intentionally, this is one of those that isn't going to come naturally, and it's going to take some work. And really applying this doesn't mean that you have to like the situation. Using my example, you can still say, I don't like this job loss. I don't like being in this place of uncertainty and hardship and all of that. You don't have to like it, but you still can say, it is true, however, that these things are possible now because of this situation. So always looking for those hidden gems that can really, really help. The last mantra I have is maybe not quite so much of a mantra as it is a concept, but I wanted to leave you with this one. Not because it's less important, but maybe because it's what I want to leave you with here in this first episode. And it's a concept that is this: self-care. Now, before I go on, I want to acknowledge the fact that self-care is kind of a buzzword, right? And we tend to think all sorts of things when we hear the words self-care. And those are things we'll talk more in future episodes about, what is self-care, I'm sure. And we'll elaborate on this idea of self-care. But I wanted to leave you here in this first episode with this basic concept, which is that self-care is not selfish. It's a different ending to the word. Self-care is not selfish. It's actually wellness. It's wellness. We hear the word self in the word self-care, and a lot of times our mind suddenly tells us and defines it as anything self-care related is selfish. It's something that only benefits ourselves. And I know busy women and moms feel this. They feel this. And what we also feel as women and moms so often is we feel guilt, right? When we look at doing something that would fall under the umbrella of self-care, we feel as though that is a selfish act that only benefits us. But in reality, everybody benefits when you, as a busy woman and mom, has some time for self-care, when it is not always you pushing yourself to the back burner and to the back burner and to the back burner, so that you get to the point where you have totally lost sight of yourself, of who you are, of what you're doing this all for, of what's important to you and what's not. If I were to ask you the question, what is important to you? And you wouldn't even know how to answer that. That signals that you are very lacking in self-care. And again, it's not selfish, it's wellness. If I were to ask you the question, let's just say I were to show up on your front doorstep, ring your doorbell, and I were to hand you a box. If I could hand you a present and give you an hour of time in it, if I could show up on your front doorstep and say, here is a free bonus hour for you today, what are you going to do with it? If you would stand there and look at me with that deer in headlights sort of look and really have no idea how you would spend that time, that is telling you that self-care is lacking. And I'm not even saying that you have to spend it on yourself in some sort of self-care way. But what that would illustrate is you thinking about, what do I want? What do I need? What speaks to me? If you don't know how to answer those questions relatively quickly without a lot of hesitation, that tells you that self-care is going to be someplace that you're going to want to pay attention. When we talk about these things here on this podcast, it is going to be something that you need to cue into, because in reality, you can only run on fumes for so long. I'm going to buck the system and say you can run on fumes, right? That's what I just said. And I will say it more plainly. As a busy woman and mom, or mom, you don't have to be a mom. You can just be a busy woman. You can run on fumes. But, and that's a big but, there will reach a point where you no longer can. That is going to run out. At some point when you are running on fumes, and you are running on empty, 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 empty every day, at some point, there's going to be a crash and burn. And it is a whole lot harder to recover from a crash and burn than it is to just not, it's a lot harder to recover from that than it is to make the time to inject some self-care throughout your life, throughout your daily rhythms, here and there. There's no way to define that. I'm not going to tell you that it needs to be an hour every day or an hour every week, or you need to make time for self-care every day. If that's not your reality, I get that. I've got 9 kids. That's not always my reality either. So I do get that. But what I do know to be true is that self-care is not selfish. Everybody benefits when you have some form of self-care injected into your life on a fairly regular basis. And I know that if it's not there on a fairly regular enough basis, something is going to happen that is going to demand self-care. And we want to avoid that. We would rather have that self-care happen on your terms, in your timing, in your way, than when there is some sort of more emergency type of situation that requires that. If you are someone who has ever found yourself running yourself ragged, and then what happens? You can probably fill in the blank, right? It doesn't always happen, but a lot of times you end up sick. I know this is true for me. And it's not to say that every time you run sick, it's because you're running yourself ragged. I'm not saying that either. But that's one of those situations where, again, if you are not listening to yourself, at some point, your body is going to demand that you listen to it. And so as one of our mantras, the last mantra I wanted to leave you here with today, I wanted to leave you with more of this concept that says self-care is not selfish, it's wellness, and it's something that everybody benefits in addition to you. So that is what I had for you today. That is what we spend a lot of our time and our focus and our bandwidth on as intentional women and moms. We are going to elaborate, like I said, on these concepts a whole lot more in the podcasts that are to come. But I did want you to know these six most important mantras. I wanted to make sure that you could get these in your hand, which you can check the show notes for that. So that is where we are going to park our focus a lot of the time. You are going to hear from experts who speak to these things. We're going to talk about a whole lot of other things too. But if you're wondering where to ground yourself, these are some really great mantras to park yourself, to ground yourself with, and to make sure that you are, again, weaving them throughout your daily rhythms, that these are part of your mindset. They're part of your focus. They're just part of who you are as a person. They're things that are kind of always on the horizon somewhere. They're never too far out of reach. You're remembering them. You're hauling them out. You're using them when you need to. That's what these mantras are for. So thank you so much for joining me. I will see you and talk to you in the next episode. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.